Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, we got a good show today. We're going to talk some Quebec League prospects.
We're going to talk Quebec League prospects with JF Danfous of NHL Central Scouting. Very excited for this one, Adam. We're getting into the bulk of our interviews with a lot of the big-time scouts for each of the leagues, the regions, so it's always an exciting time. Central Scouting listed 31 Q players on its final list of North American skaters. Last year, four Q players were chosen over the opening two rounds, including Nathan Gauthier to Anaheim at number 22, Maverick Lamoureux to Arizona at number 29. 19 Q players were chosen total over the seven rounds last year. This year, Ethan Gauthier of Sherbrooke is one of the two potential first-round selections coming out of the Q. Gauthier is number 16, the other being defenseman Etienne Moran of Moncton, who is number 19 overall. So looking forward to the interview here with JF Danfous. Adam, always an interesting conversation.
Well, let's go right to JF and let's hear what he has to say. JF Danfous from NHL Central Scouting, thank you for joining us today on NHL Draft Class. How are things going for you?
I'm good, you?
Very good, thank you.
We're doing well, JF, and we're looking forward to the upcoming draft. We got the lottery results, so we're all excited. But before we get into the queue, I wanted to ask you about Connor Bedard, a player you've seen in crossover viewings. You're a former goalie, and when I asked you about Bedard at the final meetings in April, you offered a great answer with regard to how impressed you were with Bedard's goal-scoring ability and the release of his shot, how he's able to whip it and really mess with the goalie. Can you explain to our fans out there?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, he's a great player and he's got great assets around his game, his skating, his hockey sense. But I think his shot is one of his biggest weapon. And when you look at a shot for a player, obviously the power of the shot is an aspect. The quickness that he can release it also is a major asset. But for me, it's the ability to change the angle. Whether it's a little push or a little toe drag, I find he can whip it as good as anybody that I've ever seen. And he's done it at the big stage. You know, some kids can do it in practice and it looks good, but he can do it at full speed in a game with a ton of pressure like the World Junior. And I thought, you know, his shot was really impressive for me as a goalie, looking at the way he released it.
JF, so much attention has been paid to so many of the top-end forwards this year in the draft, but I want to ask you about a defenseman here at the start. Etienne Moran, left-shot defenseman, led Q, the Q defenseman with 21 goals, second most ever by a Moncton defenseman. Clearly, his offensive game is going to be his calling card at the next level, but at 6 foot 180, he's got a good frame, can get a little bit stronger. What have you liked about Etienne when you've gotten to watch him this season?
Yeah, for me with Etienne, it's the hockey sense, the puck skill, the poise with the puck, the ability to sort out the options in front of him. To me, that's the difference maker with his game. He's a great passer. He sees the game really well. He's as good as anybody that I've seen this year on the offensive blue line work, whether it's 5-on-5 or the power play. He can create. He can find lanes. He can find shot pass around the net. And I think his defensive play has got better throughout the season. He was a minus 12 last year as an underager. He finished this year at plus 29. I thought he defended really well in the second half. His timing was better through the neutral zone. He's got a little bit of bite too. He can finish checks. He can be mean around the net as well. And he did well in the playoffs, 17 points in 12 games in the playoffs. So for me, he's progressed throughout the season. He's a nice prospect.
Yeah, I remember you speaking glowingly about him in the final meetings, JF, saying he was probably one of the best power play guys that you've seen this year working the special team. So that's great. Right wing Ethan Gauthier seems to me to be a true blue chip prospect with a high ceiling, has the skill, but also that grit and physicality needed at the next level. He loves to forecheck and do the things every coach would need in a lineup. What changed about him over the second half of this season, and why is he the best Q prospect on the board at number 16 on Central's final ranks?
Yeah, for me, it's been the consistency throughout the season, starting with the Gretzky Alinka tournament, where I thought he was excellent. He was one of the best player on Team Canada. And he kind of progressed all year. finished the season with 30 goals, 69 points. You know, 23 of his goals were even strength as well. So he's not just a power play guy. He can get things done 5-on-5. And like you said, I look at the NHL playoffs right now, and the teams that are doing good are have players that are gritty, in your face, finishing checks, really good down low around the net. And I think Ethan Gauthier brings that type of game. So for me, that those are the reasons he's the number one in the Quebec League. It's kind of tight when you're looking with Morin, even Cataford. Those are good, you know, all three are solid prospects. But Gauthier brings some intangibles, I guess, that we all really like.
You know, Jeff, I kind of interesting that you mentioned the consistency aspect of it. When we talked to Ethan back in January at the top prospects game, he said the biggest thing for him was finding that consistency on a game to game basis rather than being up, you know, for a game or two or down for a game or two. Was it that noticeable that he was able to sort of take away the peaks and the valleys in his game and sort of be, you know, that same player on a night to night basis?
Yeah, I think he may have been hard on himself. I think he's that type of kid where he wants to deliver every single night. But as you know, you can't score every game. You can't deliver every game. But for me, the consistency has been there. The fact that he played for Sherbrooke, which was a stacked team from top to bottom, and he still found a way to get that top six role, power play minutes, that kind of shows the type of player and the type of character that he has. But for me, yeah, the consistency has been there. He delivered throughout the season, even in the playoffs. He did well, a point per game in the playoffs. So he's a solid prospect all around.
You mentioned right-handed center Matthew Cataford there a little earlier. Goes about 5'11", 190 pounds. Pretty versatile player, right, JF? Capable. He could play wing or center. He's used in a lot of situations. Some of you thought highly of him at the final meetings. He's got 11 points, a shorthanded goal in 17 playoff games so far. Is looking for more. Halifax, of course, they're in that championship series with Quebec. I believe they're tied right now, 1-1. Game 6 is May 16th. So why do you think Cataford could maybe be a second-round pick, early third-round pick here?
Yeah, for me, it's, you know, a lot of things that I just mentioned about Ethan Gauthier, the way he played hard, you know, the relentless type effort. I think Cataford brings similar aspects as well. He plays hard. He's tough. He's tough to play against. And like you mentioned, can play the middle, can play the wing, can kill penalties, can play the power play extremely well. The hockey sense makes a huge difference. He sees the ice so well. He understands, you know, the defensive part of the game as well. He covers the D side in all three zones. For me, it's the complete package. And also the fact that he delivered offensively, 31 goals this year, 75 points. He's on the team, again, similar to Sherbrooke, where they're a playoff contender. He plays still a top six on that team with a ton of good players. And he's been delivering. So for me, a 17-year-old that can play a huge role on a championship team, it means a lot. And for me, Mathieu is a solid all-around prospect that, again, looking at the playoffs right now, he would fit right in as far as the work ethic, the intangible that he brings.
Jeff, I want to ask you about Cam Squires, the right wing from Cape Breton. He had one of maybe the biggest jumps among all players from the midterm to the final rankings, going from 114 to 56. Now maybe, you know, that late second round, early third round area. He had 20 goals and 36 points in his final 32 games of the season. So obviously the production stepped up, you know, on the back of the hockey card type numbers. But what changed in your eyes in Cam's game to earn him such a giant promotion in the final rankings?
Yeah, I think in the first half, we saw the potential. We weren't sure if offensively he would deliver. Obviously, he did in the second half. Another 30-goal scorer in the queue. You know, he's on par with Gauthier and Cataford as far as goal scoring, 30 goals this year. 25 at even strength. So again, not just a one-dimensional power play guy. He can deliver 5-on-5 as well. I think it was maybe a little bit of a projection as far as I think he's a raw player. There's a lot of growth physically that needs to happen to, you know, to project to the pro level. But I think as soon as, you know, when he gets stronger physically, I think his skating will get better. He'll be more powerful getting into one-on-one battles. But there's one thing that he does really well. It's anything that is related to his puck skill. Anytime he's on the ice, he's got the puck and he makes things happen offensively. And you know, it's easy for me to project, you know, 4 or 5 years from now with, you know, added physical strength, more powerful stride. I could see this kid break through the NHL.
The fans always love dark horse candidates, guys that maybe aren't getting the recognition right now, JF. But then, you know, so many times we see it, right? Guys that are drafted in the third, fourth, fifth rounds somehow, you know, make a name for themselves in the NHL. We've seen it before. Is there a dark horse candidate from the queue that you've had your eye on for, you know, some time now, maybe ranked in the middle of the pack and you feel could be a solid pro at some point down the road?
I think so. There's always a few guys in the draft, and I think the queue is kind of known for those late, you know, late bloomers, prospects, sometimes undrafted, but goes, you know, sign as a 20-year-old and perform at the NHL level. But for me, in this draft, when you look at Dylan McKinnon at 61, you know, he's still in the playoffs right now, playing a big role. PK playing physical. He's tough. 6'2", good size. He was at the CHL prospect game. And I think he's a kid that would translate well at the pro level on a physical defensive type role. I think Andrei Loshko and Chikudimi could be a solid two-way centerman at the next level. Maybe would project as a third line centerman, but I think he brings a lot of positive as far as playing well defensively. His hockey sense is real good, and he did really good offensively on a team that was kind of on a rebuilding phase and played with young player. I thought he did extremely well in Chicoutimi. And there's a kid at 139, a kid like Lucas Romeo, kind of a late bloomer, Ontario player, came in the queue as a free agent, good size, plays hard, ended up with 15 goals as a rookie, again, on a rebuilding Charlottetown team. He fought a few times. He can be nasty physically. I think he's one of those guys that, again, looking at playoff hockey, he fits right in. Maybe he's a third, fourth line guy that down the road can produce a little bit of offense as well. But he's tough, he's mean, and he's got the frame to play at the NHL level.
Well, that's great stuff. And guys to watch up the top of the draft. And maybe as we go through a little bit deeper, rounds 2 through 7 in Nashville when we get there. JF Damfus, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today on NHL Draft Class.
Thanks for having me.
A lot of interesting stuff there, Adam, from JF on the Q players. Always has some great stuff to say. Etienne Morin, some interesting things there, the left-handed defenseman of Moncton. It looks as though Marin's going to be in that, maybe that pack of maybe mid to late first round, Adam. What do you think?
Yeah, that's sort of, you know, he's 19 in Central Scouting's final ranking. And it was interesting, you know, I remember we had Dan Marr on to talk about the final rankings, you know, in a previous episode of NHL Draft Class. You can go back and listen to that. But he had Lukas Dragicevic from Tri-City, Oliver Bonk from London in the Ontario League, and Etienne Morin as sort of, you know, kind of in a dead heat for who the best CHL defenseman is this season. One of them is going to be, you know, if we sort of stack them as Reinbacher and Sandin Palicka, as a top two defenseman available, one of those three guys, Dragicevic, Morin, or Bonk, is going to be probably the next defenseman off the board somewhere in the first round. But with Morin, you know, you listen to JF that, you know, you see the goals and you always wonder a Quebec League defenseman that offensively minded, you know, 21 goals a season, how is he going to be on the defensive side? But as JF said, there really wasn't a lot of issues there. He goes from a minus 12 last season to a plus 29 this season. And, you know, whatever you think of plus minus, that just tells you that he was on the right side more often than he wasn't. And as far as what you want from a defenseman, that's pretty much the base of what you want. You want your defenseman to be helping more than hurting. And obviously Etienne Morin helped his team in Moncton far more often than he hurt it. So that's a guy, you know, teams are really going to have to take a deep look on. And at 6 foot and 180 pounds, he's got room to get a little bit stronger. He's got a frame that's, you know, you can see easy to develop. So he gets a little bit stronger and, you know, the skating's good. The offensive game is there. He looks like a guy who's going to be, you know, potential to be a top four defenseman in the NHL.
Yeah. I mean, 34 of his 72 points this season were on the power play. And I'm telling you, Adam, when I was talking to JF at the final meetings, we went on and on about Morin and his capabilities on the power play. And look, teams, you know, NHL clubs look for that. I mean, you look at how important specialty teams are in the postseason. yes, they're important in the regular season to eventually get to the postseason. But once you're in the postseason, you got to take advantage of those opportunities. And Marin could be, two, 3 years down the road, that type of guy that helps out from the point. But I do want to talk about one player that we didn't discuss with JF that we did talk to, Adam, at the top prospects game. Mateo Mann, the right-handed D, goes about 6'5", 222 pounds. His father is the assistant general manager of the Ottawa Senators. His uncle played hockey in the ECHL. This is his third season in the queue. He had just 5 assists in 45 regular season games, but he's number 84 on Central's list. But that size, it's so good, and it's tough to ignore if you're a general manager or a scout. That's his biggest thing, that big frame. He's got a mature body. He skates well for his size from the scouts that I've spoken to. Has to improve his puck game a little bit, has to make maybe some better decisions, but he's a prospect that will need time. But I can see a team taking him as a project because of that size, especially for the skating, which is one of his assets. Pretty mobile for a guy with that 6'5 frame. So the puck game will eventually come along. And if the team that does draft him works with him, I think that'll be great for Mateo Mann. The other player I do want to talk about real quickly, Adam, is Riley Mercer. He's the brother of Dawson Mercer, the center for the New Jersey Devils. Now, the Devils, of course, dropped a 5-game series in the Eastern Conference second round to the Carolina Hurricanes, and they had their breakup day recently. And I actually asked Dawson about his brother, who goes about 6'2", 203, plays goalie for Drummondville. He's number 24 in Central's list for North American goaltenders. And I asked Dawson, I said, give us a little scouting report. He's number 24, maybe not. We'll see if he gets drafted. He's a goaltender, had some pretty decent numbers. And Dawson says, hey, he came up big in the playoffs for Drummondville, big goalie, mobile. I think he's really competitive. But then the one thing that, Dawson said at the end that I thought was interesting and could be advice for any draft eligible player, Adam, he said, no matter what happens, if it's meant to be, you're going to find your way. And we always say that all the time. I think that's what you should look forward to as a young player. You don't know if you're going to get drafted. Will you get drafted? Will you have to wait another year? But if the NHL will find you if you are good enough.
Right. And at the end of the day, the number next to your name where you got drafted, once you get through the draft, it doesn't mean anything. It's a big deal on June 28th. It's a big deal on June 29th. But come June 30th, guess what? You're one of however many rookies that are going to be at rookie development camp, that are maybe going to be at training camp. And whatever that number was, it becomes irrelevant in the eyes of teams. They just want the best players. And whether you go first round, second round, seventh round, whatever it is, he'll be fine. If as you said, if he's skilled enough, NHL teams will find him and NHL teams will develop him the way he needs to be if he's destined to be an NHL goalie. And I'm sure Dawson Mercer is going to be rooting for his brother. But I want to go back to something you said about Mateo Mann and why, at 6'5", 222, a right shot guy that size. I think he it's a little reminiscent of a guy you used to cover with the New Jersey Devils, who's now still in the playoffs with the Seattle Kraken, Adam Larson. You look at the season that Vince Dunn had playing alongside Adam Larson, it allowed him to exploit his offensive talents because he had a guy the size, the defensive ability of an Adam Larson. You'd have to think that if you're going to draft a Mateo Mann, you've got to, and we'll use Etienne Morin as an example because we're talking about Quebec League prospects. You want your offensive guy to be able to just go and be that fourth player, that fourth forward almost in the attack. When you've got a guy like Mann who skates well, that size, that sounds like if you're constructing a top defense pair, that's sort of what you want, right? You want one guy who can get it and go, and one guy who's comfortable hanging back, but skates well enough that he can help out offensively if needed. I mean, if you're sort of roster building that way, Mateo Mann is a guy that, is going to be desirable, I think, because of the size and that different sort of ability that he brings to the game that maybe, I don't know if I want to call it a throwback ability, but, defensive-minded defenseman potentially at the next level.
And on top of that, you just can't ignore the pedigree side of things and, how he grew up in a hockey, environment, right? It's almost like you've gained a couple of years of experience by being surrounded by good people. And Mateo was surrounded by his dad and his uncle. So it's a hockey family. So obviously it's a positive element for sure. You know, you mentioned the size, and that's a good comparison, Adam. You know, that Adam Larson type of, you know, play that he has about his game, being consistent and being physical when he needs to be. And, he's got that temperament that he can play that physical game. And that's what you want to see for a defenseman of that size. That's what coaches would want. So, yeah, we'll see where Mateo Mann goes. I would expect him to maybe go middle of the pack late in this draft. And if he is, I'm sure that NHL club will want him to marinate a little bit and major junior before bringing him over as a pro. So, you know, give it maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the road, and maybe Mateo Mann will be on an NHL roster.
For sure. And Mateo Mann's a guy who's going to go later in the draft. But if you want to find out who we think is going to go early in the draft, you can check out the previous edition of NHL Draft Class, as well as check it out on NHL.com. Our post-lottery mock drafts, me and Mike, we went over who we think the first 16 players are going to be. And we went out on a little bit of a limit, number one. I don't know if I want to give away the surprise, but we both believe Connor Bedard will be the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah.
It was a difficult decision, wasn't it, Mike?
No, it was extremely difficult. Yeah, but we're kidding aside. Connor Bedard is the elite of the elite of this class, and there is no question about that. Number two, we both had Adam Fantilli as well, right, Adam? So we both like Fantilli, his game, what he's able to do. But then check out the mocks, check out the show that we did last week, NHL Draft Class, because it gets interesting from three on.
And you can also, if you want to hear Connor Bedard in his own words, please go back and check previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. We've spoken to Connor. We've gotten his thoughts on things. And I believe he did speak about his experiences prior in Chicago, if I remember correctly, when we spoke to him at the Top Prospects game back in January. So make sure you go back and listen to that show, and you can see, get a little preview of what Connor Bedard thinks Chicago could be like. And there's a lot of other good episodes there in NHL Draft Class where we've spoken to numerous top prospects, numerous scouts. You're getting ready for the draft. It's coming up. It's 6 weeks away, June 28th and 29th in Nashville. So you want to start figuring out who your team could take. You want to start getting some good information. I suggest listen to NHL Draft Class, and you're going to hear from not only Mike and I, but some of the best scouts in the business, some of the top prospects coming along. It will expand your knowledge and let you know who you should be looking for when your team gets to the podium in Nashville.
Hey, Adam, do you think if Chicago does draft Connor Bedard, that Bedard would try Chicago pizza? Because I know, and I've spoken to his teammates, he's not a junk food eater. He doesn't touch it. He doesn't touch McDonald's. He's never eaten McDonald's. But do you think he would try, you know, the deep dish Chicago pizza? You think he would?
I think at least once, right? At least once. You got to go. It's like you got to go do the touristy things at least once when you get to a new city. And I think deep dish Chicago pizza, look, and I'm sure you can vegetarian it up and get, you know, your healthy version of whatever deep dish pizza, if such a thing even exists. But I tend to like Chicago deep dish pizza, and I know I would try it. I'm sure he'll give it a shot. I'm sure someone will get him to give it a little bit of a shot.
And he did tell us at Top Prospects, you can hear on that podcast, that he does like coffee. He does drink it every so often. So that's another feather in his cap. The coffee, no. Adam. The coffee.
I think you're rubbing off on him. You're also rubbing off on me. This is my second cup of the day. So there I had to be properly caffeinated to hang out with you, Mike.
There you go. Glad to see it.
Well, enjoy your coffee and enjoy previous editions of NHL Draft Class. It is free to download, free to subscribe. But as for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.